We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. Their Alexandria location is now open. New spot in Ashburn, Virginia as well. And they are taking appointments. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Johnny Cake Sawville and Eric Bickle. Redskins Friday, presented by the one and only Sportsbook Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. We'll talk to our Redskins beat reporter, Craig Hoffman, coming up at 7:20. Find out the latest on the injury front and more. But join us, as he does every Friday, to talk movies. It's our pal Kevin McCarthy, entertainment reporter for Fox 5. Hey, Kevin.
Can I call out a big time on Cakes real fast?
Sure, go ahead.
First of all, Cakes, if I could have permission to speak with you, we're live on the radio. but I called you on Tuesday at 11:10 a.m.
Okay.
Went right to you. I went to your voicemail after about 7 or 8 rings, and I haven't heard back. And I'm a little worried about my friend.
No, I'm still your friend. But let me just point this out to anybody.
Not only you,
but anybody. If you leave a voicemail on my voicemail or whatever, it's never going to get checked. Now I should have responded.
Now, did you see a missed call from Kevin?
I probably did.
And then it didn't occur to you, wow, this is a little unusual. Kevin probably didn't call you often.
No, I know exactly why he's calling me.
He's calling you about some concert.
He saw the fact that Iron Maiden is coming to Jiffy Lube Live in like July of 2019, and he wants to have some Papa time and hang out and go watch Bruce Dickinson and company belt out the hits. I know,
yeah.
Kevin.
Is that
why
you called?
I actually called Cakes to let him know that I got him a pit ticket because we were talking. Him and I were discussing over text about how we were going to go to the show about a week ago, and he's like, you know, don't worry about it. I might be able to get like tickets. I might do my own ticket somehow, whatever. And so I ended up buying him a pit ticket just so he could have one if he wanted to join me down there. And I was calling him to let him know that I got one for him.
I do appreciate that. That's a very nice gesture on your part.
But why wouldn't you call him back?
I just wanted to get popped.
You know what? Cakes really is. He's kind of rude.
Cakes often says he doesn't like people.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't like Kevin. I actually love Kevin. Kevin's my guy. But just because I don't call you back or don't text you back doesn't mean that I don't love you. It just means that
you don't care.
I'm not a good communicator.
That's true.
I will say this. In Cakes' defense, I'm awful at returning phone calls. I'm just jokingly giving you crap for this, but it's funny because since I haven't seen you guys in forever, since I don't come in studio because of my timing on the show here, I've missed you guys. I just picked up the phone and wanted to call Cakes and say hi and talk about the show, and he just didn't call me back. I'm just a little upset about
it. We're talking now. This is our forum. This is how we communicate.
I saw once again that you got together with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston.
Oh, yeah, that was yesterday. Travis texted me.
Big time.
Are you even in town?
By the way, it's easier to get a message back from The Rock than it is Cakes, John Allville.
Crazy.
Like The Rock responds immediately. And, like, Cakes takes, like, text could take a couple hours,
yeah.
You know, but
true.
Doesn't return my phone calls. No. Travis texted me this morning asking me what movies I was reviewing. And, you know, I'm doing Instant Family and Fantastic Beasts and this movie called Green Book, which I'm excited to tell you guys about. And he's like, did you see Widows? I'm like, no, because Widows screened. I was in New York twice this week in between Monday and last night. So I couldn't see Widows, unfortunately. But yeah, Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart are in a new movie called The Upside. So yesterday morning I was in New York interviewing both of them because essentially the movie doesn't open until January, but they are doing press now because Bryan Cranston's on Broadway in a show called Network, and then Kevin Hart's doing a comedy tour. So
when you do these trips, like, I don't think people understand, you're like everybody else. They give you like 3 minutes, right?
Oh, yeah. 4 minutes.
You get 4 minutes.
Yeah.
Do you still get anxious that you're going to get all your stuff in? I mean, doesn't that infuriate you? You're flying all the
doesn't
way up
the
there.
Doesn't the picture eat up like a minute? Because you take a picture with every group.
No, that's at the end.
Yeah, well, so that, it's interesting. So I'm actually glad you asked that, Eric, because I don't think people realize, like, and here's the thing. I'm grateful to have the time I have with these actors. So I think one of the best examples of this was 4 minutes. Now 4 minutes sitting down with Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga for A Star Is Born.
Right.
Now 4 minutes to talk to those two people about that movie is pretty hard to do. So when you have two people in a room like that, you're generally going to probably only get two questions. The goal is probably three. And that's what makes me nervous. Like, you know, walking into with Kevin Hart and Bryan Cranston yesterday, I knew that I wanted to get to a third question about Aretha Franklin because that's a big part of the movie, but I was nervous about how long my second bit would go. So the guy is literally wrapping me up, and I look at Bryan Cranston and I say, hey, can I ask you one more quick question about the film? And thankfully he said yes. So the timer kind of like was overrided in that.
Do they sometimes
aspect.
Say no?
Yeah, no, the actor will never say no, but sometimes the timer will step in and like cut it off.
Oh, yeah,
only when I'm talking, not when the actor's talking.
I mean, we've dealt with that before on the radio where guys will just, the handlers will just jump in the middle
it's
of the question
worst.
And cut you off. They don't care.
Yeah.
Do you see the same sort of timer guys, producer guys, every
yeah.
trip?
Yeah, and that's the thing. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll go up to the timer beforehand. Like when I did Bohemian Rhapsody in London, they had all four of the guys playing Queen, including Rami Malek, the Freddie Mercury actor, in one room for 4 minutes. So you have four actors, 4 minutes. Now, I looked at the schedule, and the schedule said 5 minutes. I said, well, why are you telling me I have four? He goes, oh, well, the other minute is for you to sit down and then leave. And I said, okay, well, then I want you to start the camera the moment I sit down and start my time so I get a full 5 minutes. And that worked. It just depends on, like, the situation. Like, with Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, I was early in the day, so I got my full time. But then later in the day, they start chopping things down. So could you imagine, like, having 2.5 minutes in that room? Like, you would be able to ask one question. So it's like, you know, that's where it gets a little bit tedious. But again, you know, I'm thankful to be in the room with these actors, but it is a very – people don't realize how stressful it is walking in there and trying to get to your content. Like, you know what you want to get to.
In the end, you want that sound bite so that you can then play it on Fox 5.
Yeah, and like yesterday I did a bit with Kevin Hart where because they're making a Breaking Bad movie. So I wrote down three very famous Breaking Bad lines, and I had Kevin Hart – like jokingly auditioned for the Breaking Bad film in front of Bryan Cranston. And that was my second bit. And I knew that would probably go long. And it did. Kevin Hart like took his time, looked into the camera. Like he like really like did it up because he's awesome
it.
Like that. He's
right.
Great. Because Kevin Hart, people like Kevin Hart and like The Rock, all those guys, they totally get it. Like they're like, they sell it up to the camera. Those guys are awesome. So like I see the timer wrapping me. The guy's like, wrap it up. And like Kevin Hart's in the middle of his third line. I'm like, I have to get to this Aretha Franklin thing. So thankfully, I've interviewed Cranston a bunch of times. So he looked at me and he kind of gave me the okay to go a little longer.
All right. So let's get into the movies that are coming out this week. You didn't see Widows, which I'm actually going to go see with my wife tonight.
I want to see it really bad.
That's a heist
Steve
movie
McQueen.
With Viola Davis. It's getting great reviews.
But yeah, Steve McQueen, by the way. The guy who directed 12 Years a Slave. Yeah.
You saw Green Book, which actually has a really good cast. Viggo Mortensen and Mahershala Ali.
Yeah, so mark my words, this is going to be a gigantic Oscar film. This is a film that every one of you, if you went and saw, you'd walk out and go, that was amazing. It's a true story. So first of all, let me tell you the plot, and then I'll tell you something that's going to blow your mind. So this is about a true story about two friends. Essentially, they were not friends in the beginning. This takes place in the American 1960s. And essentially, Mahershala Ali, who won the Oscar for Moonlight, his character is a musician who wants to take a music tour in the Deep South. Now, his character wants to go down there to make a statement about being black and being a musician and dealing with everything that's going on at the time, at these times. And, you know, the idea of what a Green Book is, if you don't know what that is, I won't give it away. It is it's a historical piece of a book, but I won't go into it if you don't know what it is because it's explained in the film. But Viggo Mortensen's character is hired by Mahershala Ali to drive him and be his bodyguard in the Deep South while he's doing this music tour. And it is so fascinating to watch these two in a car together the entire time because they're such good actors. I mean, Viggo Mortensen, Lord of the Rings and Eastern Promises, History of Violence. This guy's an incredible actor, as is Mahershala Ali. And just watching them play together is amazing. Now, this is a film directed by Peter Farrelly. Now, Peter Farrelly directed Dumb and Dumber, right. There's Something About Mary,
classics.
Me, Myself, and Irene. What'd you say, Kate?
Classics. Just classic.
Yeah,
classic comedies.
Yeah, and now, so this is a comedy, but not in that vein. Like, you're not going to get, like, Frank and Beans. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, like, There's Something About Mary. But it is a really, really well-made movie. Now, this is actually the first time ever that Peter Farrelly, the director, has worked without his brother. So every other movie I mentioned, Dumb and Dumber, Me, Myself, and Irene Shallow, all those movies were directed by Peter Farrelly and Bobby Farrelly. Now, Bobby Farrelly had a tragedy in his family, really bad tragedy, and he could not direct this film with his brother. So the weird part about it is, while this is going to probably be Peter Farrelly's, like, Oscar film. I mean, it's going to be nominated for a lot of things, including actors and probably Best Picture. So it's kind of sad in that sense. But it's a very, very well done film. Loved it. I give it a 4.5 out of 5. It's playing in limited release now in our area, so make sure you look it up via your zip code on, like, Fandango or whatever. You'll find out. It's going to open wider next week, so if you're looking for it closer to you, you might wait till next Friday, but it is in D.C. this weekend. But it's such a great movie. You got to see it if you get a chance.
All right, so Fantastic Beasts, this is the EB movie.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's funny, like, you know, when I walked in to interview Jude Law and Eddie Redmayne for this, Jude Law looked at me and said, Kevin, make sure you tell Eric Bickle this is the movie for him. And I said, Mr. Law, you're completely right. I mean, Eric, you're gonna love this. This is about magic and wizards and beasts and, like, and
right
and
up my alley.
You know, yeah, exactly. I mean, you're the biggest Harry Potter fan I know, so I think that there is a great element here. But yeah, the movie essentially is a sequel to Fantastic Beasts, the first one. First one I liked, this one I didn't particularly. Yeah, well, you never heard of it, but the first one made $814 million worldwide, so a lot of people have heard of
it. The only time you heard of it was when you reviewed the first one.
I guarantee I wasn't listening.
Right. He probably was sleeping at that point.
Yeah. Hey, he's our entertainment guru.
Yeah, I know. But
for things that are entertaining.
The movie is not great, unfortunately. I won't go into too much detail because I know you guys aren't interested in that one. But it's slow. It's boring at times. There's some good effects. The performances are great. Jude Law is great. I gave it a 2.5. Don't waste your time with it.
What about the movie that you didn't see? Are you hearing good things about this Widows?
I've heard great things about it. So Steve McQueen, who directed 12 Years a Slave and Shame, directed this. I mean, the cast is unbelievable. It's Liam Neeson, Viola Davis. You have Daniel Kaluuya, who is the lead actor in Get Out. Cynthia Erivo, who is just in Bad Times at the El Royale. It looks great. I will gladly see it, and I tried to see it. I just couldn't. But I've heard only good things about it. And, JP, I think that might be a good choice. But if you guys get a chance, I think Green Book's probably the best movie of the week, for sure.
Now, it was actually coming down to, just looking at schedule, babysitter, it was coming down to Widows or Mark Wahlberg's Instant Family, which actually, surprisingly, was doing pretty good on Rotten Tomatoes as well. But that looks like just kind of a goofy comedy.
Well, I liked it. I was actually surprised how much I liked it. So initially, my rating for this film was a 4, I can't say why, but something happens at the end that drops it down to a 3.5, only because, and I can't tell you what it is. It's a big spoiler, but it took me completely out of the movie. But that being said, this is a very, very important film in the sense that it touches on adoption, and it's based around the director's real life. Mark Wahlberg and Rose Byrne essentially adopt 3 siblings into their marriage, into their home, and it's just about how they change each other's lives. And it is, Wahlberg is really great in this. I mean,
let me just tell you this, in a 30-second trailer or the commercial on TV, I see him accidentally hit his kid with the ball twice. How many times is it going to go to that joke?
And that's funny how trailers are cut, by the way, because that's not even, like, a big deal in the film. It happens a couple times. But it's, yeah, I mean, trailers are trying to get you in the theater, right? And some, I mean, obviously that one didn't work for you. But the thing about this movie is it surprised me. I didn't have any expectations. The trailers weren't great. I thought Rose Byrne and Mark Wahlberg were great together in it, and I think that's what works. So it just really depends on if you want something lighthearted like that. But you can get that in Green Book. And I only mean that because it touches on a serious subject matter, but also is very funny and very entertaining. You're going to be surprised how much you're laughing in Green Book. It's not there's something about Mary or, you know, or Dumb and Dumber type of humor, but it's very well done. And Viggo Mortensen is unbelievable in the role. He's unrecognizable in the movie. So I don't know. If you guys are fans of that director, I think you'll like it.
I'm sure I'm a fan of any director. Are you kidding me?
Well, you don't like Dumb and Dumber? There's something about Mary and Me, Myself, and
yeah,
Irene and Shallow Hal.
I never think of a movie, wow, this guy directed this movie. I have to see it. That's your domain.
Well, there are names that you do know. So, for example, if Scorsese has a new movie out, you're probably going to see it. If Tarantino has a new movie out, there's some that you probably follow more than you think you do.
Meh. Maybe.
Meanwhile, I have no clue who's playing the Redskins this weekend.
He follows the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I've seen every one of them. Give us three guesses as to who the Redskins face this weekend at FedEx Field.
Giants?
No.
The Saints?
Nope.
Eagles.
No.
I have zero clue. I don't even know who our quarterback is.
Guess the Skins' record. What's their record right now?
Actually, I do know this. The other day I was talking to somebody. Actually, maybe I'm wrong because it was when they were 5-3, so I don't know what they are now. Are they 5-3?
Six and close. Very close.
What is it? They're 6-3.
Okay, yeah. So they were 5-3 when I was watching the game at a hotel the other day.
Correct.
That's what it was, because they won on Sunday. So
name Kevin. One guy on defense for the Skins.
Don't know. The only person that comes to mind immediately is Albert Haynesworth, and I don't even think he's on the team anymore.
He's been on the team for 20 years.
Oh my
that
God,
was
Kevin.
Actually, I'm not kidding you. I'm not a bit. I know he's not on the team anymore. That's the first person's name that came to my mind.
You've never heard of Ryan Kerrigan.
Oh, I know Ryan Kerrigan. I thought he was offense, though.
Oh, my God. We got to stop the segment.
Kevin, I promise you, the next time that you call me, I will respond within 6 to 8 hours.
Cakes, you know I love you, but just we have to get past the fact that The Rock responds to me faster than you do. I mean, that's a big deal.
I will try to do better.
Stop bugging The Rock.
I'm not bugging The Rock. I posted a photo of Bryan Cranston and Kevin Hart on my Instagram yesterday, and he commented on it. I didn't bug him.
You used his line saying that it was The Rock's beloved son.
Right, but that was the bit. The bit was it was like
did he tag The Rock in it too?
Kind of.
Of course, he does that bit all the time.
Yeah.
You know, The Rock has 115 million Instagram followers.
That's insane.
Yeah, think about how insane that is for a second. 115 million Instagram followers. I have no clue how he even saw my tag. I have no idea.
All right, Kevin. Thank you, buddy.
JP, Papa Squeezy.
Please play the music.
That guy's a media superstar.
Do something.
JP?
Now, please.
Papa.
I do love this.
Papa Squeeze. JP.
Will never get old for me.
JP.
I'm sure it's old for Eric Bickle.
Who thinks that's funny?
This guy. Look, raise my hand.
He's a grown man.
The whole room
I don't know. It's
funny.
Making me laugh today.
Dumb. It's just dumb. That's not
dumb
even good.
Equals funny a lot of times.
Yeah. Hey, JP.
Explains our career.
Yeah.
The worst part of this is his wife does that to me now.
Nuh-uh.
When I see his wife, she goes, hey, JP.
You can do this all day.
All right, that's Kevin McCarthy on the movies. Coming up next, we will talk some Redskins Texans with Craig Hoffman, our Redskins beat reporter, on a Redskins Friday. Presented by the one and only sportsbook, Hollywood Casino.
So dumb.
JP.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan on a Redskins Friday. Presented by the one and only sportsbook, Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Redskins, of course, take on the Houston Texans. Cakes and I doing pregame from Glory Days Grill in Alexandria. Alexandria Commons, to be exact. Kicking off at 11 a.m. on Sunday. Hope you can join us. You can get more details at thefandc.com/events. So Redskins beat reporter Craig Hoffman sat down with Brian LaFemina yesterday, and we're going to play the full interview on Sunday at 10:30 a.m. We'll talk to Craig Hoffman here momentarily, but here's a little snippet of Craig with Brian LaFemina.
What role does ownership need to play in this? As the ownership, as the person that comes back, and I'm talking sole owner, that Dan's name comes up a lot when you talk about the fractured relationships. Fairly or not is not my place to judge. I'm just here to ask the question. His name comes up a lot. What role does he need to play in the reparation of that?
I think Dan's playing the role that he needs to play, which is, you know, hiring people who hopefully are going to do a great job. You know, I look to make sure that I live up to my end of that bargain, and the people that, you know, I've hired since I've been here, and giving us the resources and giving us the, you know, giving us his blessing to do the things that need to be done. I've said this before. Nobody wants to win more than Dan Snyder. You know, it's been great working with him and for him. And, you know, he's given me everything I could ask for to get this job done. So I think from that standpoint, you know, I couldn't ask for any more. And I think our fans, you know, should recognize that as well, that he, you know, you can make it about, you know, me or the guys that I've hired all you want. But at the end of the day, the person who made that decision is the guy who owns the team.
It's true.
So definitely that was true. Brian LaFemina with Craig Hoffman, who joins us right now, a Redskins beat reporter. You can check out his work at thesportsjunkies.com, thefandc.com, and, of course, on the air. Hey, Craig.
Good morning, guys.
What's up, Craig?
So the story this week, sure, there's the Houston Texans and their injuries and the Redskins at 6-3. The story this week, though, has been the fans. It started with Josh Norman, then DJ Swearinger. Talk about what it's been like at Redskins Park for you this week.
It's been a little different. You know, it's a first-place team coming to town, and you'd think you'd talk about that, but it kind of, at the end of every interview that you do, you're still doing the usual question series about the best players on the other team, schematics of the other team, trying to get set for the game. But then at the end, it's like, oh, by the way, what do you think about the crowd? Or what would a good home crowd mean to you? And so that's certainly been a storyline, and some of the most interesting answers that we've gotten all week have been on that topic. And then obviously, you know, instead of trying to sit down with a player to talk about what's going on the field and a 6-3 football team, my request this week for an interview was with Brian LaFemina. And Brian was great yesterday. I'm excited for people to hear the full interview and kind of to gauge the reaction of what he says. But yeah, it's been a little bit different. And by the way, when it comes to how it affects the football team, I don't think it's a bad thing. This team has played better amidst a little bit of chaos the last couple of years. And when it feels like things are swirling a little bit, and I actually think this winds up helping them on Sunday, weirdly enough.
So you tweeted yesterday that Josh Norman will be handing out 50 tickets before Sunday's game. And I initially thought they might have been just freebies that the Redskins gave him. But is it true that he's going into his own pocket to pay for these tickets, and that Ha Ha Clinton Dix is doing the same thing for first responders? He tweeted that out yesterday, that he's actually paying for tickets for people to come to the game this weekend.
I believe that's how that works. Each player gets an allotment of tickets that they can give family, but it's a pretty small allotment. And then they have to pay for anything extra. And so while there may be tickets somewhere in a marketing budget that they can pull out and say, all right, hey, we'll shift these over and give these out via the player, I'm pretty sure that these players are paying for at least some of these tickets, because there's only so many that they're willing to give away per game. And I'd assume that is how that is working, that, you know, hey, you can always purchase, like the players can always purchase extra on top of their given allotment. And I'd assume that is how they are getting these.
How are we going to attack this Texans defense? What's the best way to go? Is it going to be continue to pound the football?
Yeah, I think the continued attempt at balance, you know, obviously starting with the run game and then getting your pass stuff off of that, whether it's just straight drop back or play action. you know, you got to try to neutralize their pass rush. And the best way to do that is to make them not fire off the ball up the field because they're scared of the run. J.J. Watt, Jadeveon Clowney are as good as anybody in the league at their positions and can both completely take over and disrupt games. And so if you can run the ball at them and let your blockers attack them, I think that's the best strategy. But they've got good players on the back end, too. Like, Honey Badger is good. He's been a good addition for them. And he does some things that only he does. So he might not be in the exact place you think he is. And so Alex is going to have to make sure that he is aware of the rush, feels the rush, and then is aware of where Tyrann Mathieu is. And then, you know, they've got some good other players on that defense, too. They've got speed at the linebacker position, which is obviously very helpful. It's going to be a tough day for this offense, potentially. There are teams, obviously, that have figured it out and scored some points on the Texans. But overall, they've got some really good players. And I think also you're looking at tight ends and backs having to chip and things like that on Clowney going out. And that's where you miss a guy like Trent. You never have to chip with Trent. Capri Bibbs could just get out on third down. Now you might have to chip on the way out, and that slows you down. And especially if Watt's coming from the other side, that creates quite the challenge.
It appeared from just watching it at home on television that the offensive line held up pretty well, considering as patchwork as it was. Is that how everyone kind of felt after they reviewed the tape?
Yeah, absolutely. They did a good job. And even the sacks that they suffered, one of them was on a tight end, and I think another one it was on Alex. He, for some reason, just did not throw a ball. Like, he didn't just pump fake. He went all the way through his throwing motion and, like, forgot to let go of the football or something. It was bizarre. But the ball should have been out. There shouldn't have been the second sack. So they did a really good job. They did a solid enough job in the run game, too. They could sustain a little longer, but they're getting good initial push. Jonathan Cooper played really well, considering he had only been on, you know, back in the NFL for a week, and you hope with another week of game shape he can continue. Like, if Jonathan Cooper can stay healthy, there's your left guard. You've got a guy. His problem over his career is he keeps getting hurt, and obviously that could happen in 2 weeks. It could happen this week. He could get hurt again. But as long as he's healthy, you've got a guy at left guard that's an upgrade over not just what Roulier Bergstrom was when they were the combo, but an upgrade over Sean LaValle. And so I'm curious to see what happens with that. You know, also, Morgan Moses, you know, continues to be banged up. Is he going to be kind of the same level he was? Is he going to be healthier? Is it going to be worse, especially considering they're going to practice on the turf back-to-back days, and he's got a knee injury, and that turf tends to not be kind on that stuff. So they did play well, but you got a different beast coming in this week. I mean, McCoy and Pierre-Paul are good, but they're not Watt and Clowney.
Joined by Craig Hoffman, covers the Redskins for 106.7 The Fan, at Craig Hoffman on Twitter. What's the latest on Chris Thompson's health status? He would really provide a boost to this offense. I know it's frustrating not only to him, but the coaching staff as well, that he just can't get back out on the field.
Yeah, he's really frustrated. But the Jay actually opened the door a little bit yesterday. You know, he had said on Wednesday, Chris Thompson's more than likely out. And then yesterday, he's like, I don't know, maybe, because he's been running around a little bit on the rehab field, or yesterday they're in the bubble, so on the rehab side of the field. But I still think he's probably another week away. Maybe he's ready for Dallas. Maybe that couple extra days it gets him across the I can play threshold. But I think that you're probably looking at Monday night against Philly for him. He just, the ribs thing is so tough, and you can't be out there thinking about it. And, you know, when you're going to feel it with every hit, I would assume it's probably a no-go, but who knows? Chris is really tough. His pain tolerance is really high. He's played through a lot in his career, as many games as he's missed. You know, it was interesting, though. Jay said, you know, the initial rib injury has healed, and now it's the second one they're waiting. When I talked to Chris on Monday, that's not what Chris said. So I'm leaning more on what Chris has been telling us than what Jay told us yesterday, but who knows? Maybe it's been updated in the 4 days since Monday.
Have the penalties been a point of emphasis at all? I'm looking at, you know, I think in the last 2 weeks they've got like 20 penalties. I mean, some just killer, devastating holding penalties. They're just soul-crushing. I'm looking at the rankings. I don't know if this – I think this is up to date. They look like they're about the 23rd in the league. So, like, I don't know, whatever that it makes them, ninth worst or something, of 7.1 mm-hmm. penalties per game. Has that been a point of emphasis at all?
Yeah, for sure, because it's killing them offensively. And I think I saw a stat yesterday that said they had the most holds in the league. And it's absolutely killing them. This is an offense that cannot overcome second and 20. And they used to not be scared of that stuff nearly as much, and especially like a second and 15 or something like that. but because you know they felt like they could get Jordan on choice routes or Pierre, Deshaun, you know they could eat up yards quickly if they needed to. They just don't have those guys anymore, and so when they get behind the chains, it's really tough. And they made up a couple. Alex checked into a draw last week on a 2nd and 20. That was a huge play. That was a nice change of pace. But overall, they've had a really tough time because your play calling becomes so predictable. It's going to be pass. And there's only so many route concepts that you feel like you're going to run in those situations. Defenses can sit on them. They also don't have anybody that wins with speed. So you got to not put yourself in that position in the first place. And, you know, some of these, it's just a guy like Cooper's holds last week. He gets caught in unfortunate situations. It's really tough blocks. And he tries to make it, and he doesn't do a good enough job. He gets called for holding. Both of them were correct calls. It happens. On some of these, and the false starts and things like that too, you just got to be disciplined. You got to have good technique, and you can't afford to get your offense behind the chains.
All right, good stuff. Thank you, Craig. Appreciate it.
You got it. See you guys. Have a great weekend.
We'll talk to you over the weekend. Thank you.
And that full interview with Brian LaFemina, who runs the business side of the Redskins, will air at 10:30 during our pregame coverage right here.
Nice.
On 106.7 The Fan. Do want to let everybody know, turn your window replacement into home improvement with Anderson 400 Series Windows and Doors and make improving your home quick and easy. Enjoy energy savings and long-lasting beauty with virtually no maintenance. Plus, they're affordable, durable, and energy efficient. So don't just replace your windows. Improve your home with the Anderson 400 Series. Stop into your local T.W. Perry to view a full collection of Anderson products. T.W. Perry is the contractor's leading choice for building materials. Find a contractor near you at twperry.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington on a Redskins Friday, brought to you by the one and only sports book at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races. Redskins take on the Houston Texans 1 o'clock on Sunday at FedEx Field. We'll be talking about it throughout the show, and we're giving away tickets. Coming up an hour, your chance to win tickets to the Redskins-Texans game.
Have we determined the methodology for the giveaway?
It's information, Cakes.
Understood.
The answer would be no.
Okay,
we haven't figured it out.
You know, people are putting their heads together.
It's a development process.
Yes.
It's ongoing. Yes. But we will give away tickets.
Yes.
So tune in at 8:40 for a chance to win tickets to the Redskins-Texans game this Sunday at FedEx Field. And then Vernon Davis is going to join us, tight end for your Washington Redskins. Right now, though, as we do each morning at 7:45, we go around the NFL with the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by the Purple Heart Foundation. Top five matchups, excluding the Redskins. We start at 1 o'clock with two teams still alive, but probably don't have much wiggle room.
They're grasping.
As the 4-5 Dallas Cowboys head to Atlanta to take on a Falcons team that is also 4-5. Of course, the Falcons drummed the Redskins, but then got crushed by the Browns the following week.
It's got to be maddening for Dan Quinn to try to figure out this team.
Dallas coming off an impressive 27-20 win over Philadelphia on Sunday night. Mark Cooper's been a nice addition for the Dallas Cowboys. Had 6 catches for 75 yards in the last game and has opened it up for guys like Allen Hurns and the other receivers. But, of course, they're carried by Zeke. And Zeke on Sunday against the Eagles went for 151 rushing and a touchdown, went for 36 yards on 6 receptions and a touchdown. So he carries them, and they're facing a Falcons defense, which is 27th in the NFL, and struggles to stop the run. Against the Redskins, they can stop the run. But against everybody else, they suck. They gave up 211 yards rushing to Cleveland. So a very vulnerable Falcons defense. I just don't know if Dallas can string together consecutive passing performances like they did from Dak
Prescott.
Well,
if I'm Atlanta, all I'm trying to do in this matchup is get it high pace, fast pace, and get into a shootout, because I don't believe the Cowboys can keep up in that sort of scenario.
Not many teams.
I'm going to try to pour on the 30 points and see if Dallas can keep up with us.
Dan Quinn, head coach of the Falcons, said straight up, he's like, we can lose one more game this year.
Right.
That's the way he looks at the season. They got 10-6.
Yeah, so, he's right, especially, I mean, he's in a brutal division in the NFC South.
Got Carolina, you got New Orleans.
Yep. Don't worry about the Bucs. I mean, they're an afterthought. Still, those two teams you mentioned, they're chasing them.
And with Dallas, you know, you're chasing the Redskins at 4-5. It's almost a must-win for them.
EB, how satisfying will your Thanksgiving be if Dallas loses this weekend?
Oh, it'd be pretty great.
They fall to 4-6, and then the Redskins go into Jerry's world and possibly beat them on Thanksgiving.
Right.
You're going to love your Thanksgiving.
Oh, it'd be great.
If that
happens. They would then drop to 4-7 with the Redskins at 7-3, if it plays out that way.
Yes.
Well, so we got Philly playing New Orleans.
That's right.
Gotta love that.
I believe the Saints are laying 9 in that game. Big spread.
Although I can't remember which columnist wrote this. It was either Tom Lavero, who works here on the station, or maybe it was our boy Rick Snyder.
Rick.
But the doomsday scenario was Redskins losing 2 games in a relatively short period of time.
Right.
Which would put them at 6-6.
I see that.
Or
very,
no, 6-5.
6-5, yeah.
With
see
the
very
Eagles.
Possible.
Would be the next game after. So it'd be 6-5 with the Eagles.
I had a panic attack the other day thinking about that.
Right.
Because I could easily see us, let's be honest, you could easily see us losing to the Texans.
Of course.
And then you got 2 killer division games. I mean, they're division games, division rivals. They usually are pretty close.
So that's the doomsday scenario, because then the Eagles, you know, make up a game if they beat the Redskins, and the Redskins would be at 6-5.
And it's the Skins traveling on a short week,
which
is always a disadvantage.
Did you hear this? I heard this morning. Was it widely reported? I was driving this morning. I was listening to Golf Channel, and
how did you not drive off the road into a ditch?
I know you guys don't listen to the Golf Channel.
Not size. That,
but that's why the question is, was this?
That's probably the funniest thing you've ever said.
No, did we hear about this?
No, because I asked, was it widely reported?
Okay,
I heard it on the Golf Channel that in the off season, Sean Payton was playing golf with.
The answer is no.
Todd Peterson.
No, it wasn't widely reported. Okay.
I don't think it was reported anywhere.
And and the winner, I guess, got to choose whatever color uniform they wear in this game. And apparently, Todd Peterson smoked Sean Payton. And so,
am I blanking on Todd Peterson?
What's his name?
The wrong name for the head coach.
What's
the
Doug Peterson? Doug Peterson.
Doug Peterson. Okay.
Doug Peterson. I'm sorry.
No, it's fine.
So,
that was...
Doug Peterson.
Gotcha.
Doug Peterson smoked.
Crushed them.
Sean Payton. And so, the Saints, who normally, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't pay attention to it. What do they normally wear at home?
I think they usually wear black.
Oh, they wear the
tops at home.
Yes, but because Sean Payton lost, they're wearing white this week.
Okay.
Interesting subplot.
And the Eagles, they can wear.
So the
Eagles
wear
actually
green?
Have an alternate. The Eagles could, in theory, wear black because
they
have an third.
That's true.
A black third uniform.
Hmm. Golf Channel looking for content.
Yeah, they definitely are.
Spending their time on football.
I like the uniform.
Right.
I like the uniform nerdiness.
It's an interesting.
That.
No one's reporting that.
By the way, can
only
coach,
the only Golf
no,
Channel?
I'm reading about it on Yahoo.
Can
right
coaches
now.
Just
I
do
care.
That?
No,
I can't. Well, yeah, stop it, Kevin Meaney. I can't.
Because the home team determines what they're going to wear. The other team has to respond. So out of fairness, because he lost the bet, Peyton's going to wear.
So like the NFL uniform police, they don't have any sort of oversight? Like they could just lose a golf bet and say, we're wearing this at home?
No, it has to be decided by July 1st every year.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, got it done. So got it done before July 1st, Cakes.
Got it.
That's not been widely reported, huh?
No.
I think more people are reporting that it's a must-win for the Eagles, and we'll get to that in the top 5
that's
matchups.
That's not a good nugget?
That sounds like the worst Nassau known to man.
Number 4 matchup
Peterson
this weekend.
Them for whatever it's worth.
Also at 1 o'clock, the 5-4 Tennessee Titans head to Indianapolis to take on the 4-5 Colts. Colts on a heater. They've won 3 in a row in those 3 games. Andrew Luck, 10 touchdown passes, just 1 interception, and he's been sacked 0 times. Of course, Titans coming off that impressive 34-10 win over New England. Mariota's actually been playing better lately.
He's been
last
2
games. Well, they have a 2-game win streak. 4 touchdowns, 0 picks. Look, if the Redskins handle their business at home against the Houston Texans dropped to 6-4. All of a sudden, the Titans or the Colts are right there in that division.
By the way, I think this is a sneaky shootout type of game. I think there could be a lot of points scored in this game.
Mike Vrabel pointed out the Colts, I believe, have 100 points in their last three games.
Yeah.
They've become a pretty prolific offense with Luck connecting with Eric Ebron all the time.
And by the way, Corey Davis starting to emerge. Not really surprising that once Marcus Mariota can actually feel his fingertips, he's throwing the ball better, and he's getting Corey Davis, who was a top five pick last year, involved.
Number three matchup, 425 on Sunday. You mentioned, EB, the Eagles, with whatever jersey they'll be wearing, at 4-5, they head to New Orleans to take on the Saints. You got to be rooting for the Saints and Falcons this week, EB.
I got them.
Saints, of course, lost their opener, and since then they've ripped off 8 straight. Drew Brees having a phenomenal year with just one pick.
Why don't you parlay those two games? Not for a lot of money, just 10 or 20 bucks.
So
just
hard to have a vested interest. It's so hard to hit parlays. I think it's hard to hit them.
Yeah, it's just a minor sweat.
I tease them, though. Now, those might even be harder to hit, but I get sized for teasers.
I like teasers, too. They always burn me.
I like the extra points.
Yeah. Top two matchups of the week, both primetime games at 8:20 on Sunday night. The Vikings at 5-3-1.
You can watch Kirk, EB.
Head to Chicago to take on the Bears, who, of course, are 6-3. This is for NFC North supremacy.
I told you. Kirk's basically dead to me. I like to every once in a while see how the team's doing. But I don't think I've watched more than maybe 5 minutes of Kirk all season. I think he's doing well, right?
He's playing pretty well. His stats are decent.
I know the record's worse than ours. I do know
5-3-1.
I'll take that.
I'm shocked.
Game worse.
Shocked that the Bears are 6-3.
Me too.
I thought that they had all the earmarks of like a 5-win team. They already have 6. So
punch up Trubisky's numbers.
Well, he's pretty emerging. Good.
Not just passing the football, but running the football. And then the best matchup of the week. Pairs potentially a Super Bowl preview, the best two teams in the league, both at 9-1, Kansas City. They head to L.A., and yes, it's L.A. because it's not going to be played in Mexico to take on the Rams.
Why does it seem like the Rams have like a marquee matchup every week?
Well, they've had some good matchups. They've played, it depends on how you look at it, but they played Seattle.
Right.
Close game, played Green Bay, played the Vikings.
Didn't they play the Saints recently?
Yes.
Yeah.
In New Orleans. Yeah. And lost.
Yeah. They're just playing big games every week, but fun to watch. I don't know who I like in this game, though.
I just think KC's...
You're a Mahomes guy.
KC's got the better offense, man.
You're in love with Mahomes. He might be your new Andrew Luck.
That's his guy.
Although, I'm not a fan of what we've learned about Patrick Mahomes. So, Heinz Ketchup apparently heard something that he said, and they're offering him like free ketchup for life
right.
if he gets to 57 touchdowns this year, which would break Peyton Manning's record. Apparently, when he was a kid, he used to put ketchup on his mac and cheese. That just seems gross.
It seems kind of weird, but look. Kids
and Patrick
have weird...
Mahomes, have you heard him talk? It doesn't fit his face. He's got kind of a goofy voice.
Doesn't like jump out
he's
at
got
me.
Like a mix between like Kermit the Frog and somebody else. Some sort of affect going on with his voice.
It's weird. I'm more of a Baker guy, EB.
Oh, I'm a Baker guy.
That's right.
I'm a Baker. I think I'm the president of his fan club. I love that dude.
I'll be your VP.
You can be my VP.
Yeah. By the way, 63 is the total in the Rams-Chiefs game. I think that's super high.
Is that the one I read was the highest total that they've ever set in an NFL game?
I think it might be the highest. Like, is it the highest ever, Valdez?
Yeah. He's
giving the thumbs up on that.
A little later in the show, at 9:45, we'll talk to Skippy. We'll get winners from one of the hosts of the Big Fat Winners podcast. Remember, Vernon Davis at 9 o'clock, Redskins tight end. But coming up next, 8 o'clock on Fridays means Fridays with Feinstein on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.